podcast edit by Abes Audio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Mumbrella's one-on-one podcast series. I am your host and the editor of Mumbrella, Neil Griffiths. In the last few weeks, we've been joined by people like SBS Heads, James Taylor and Jane Palfreyman. We've jumped in the music world and been joined by ARIA CEO Annabelle Heard. We've gone live with TEG CEO Jeff Jones. This week, we're heading to the cinema, people, because on this episode, I am joined by the director of marketing for ANZ Universal Pictures, Suzanne Stretton-Brown. Now, many cinema buffs will have noticed a lot of movie stars coming through Australia in particular in the last few months. We had Jack Black here for Kung Fu Panda 4. We had Chris Hemsworth and George Miller here for the new Furiosa film. And we had Zendaya here for Challengers. The common theme, they were all coming out for the Universal Pictures, which is headed up by Suzanne. She's the head of marketing and she was behind all these incredible campaigns. So it was awesome for Suzanne to come on the show and tell me a little bit about this, some of the mindsets and campaign ideas behind how all these came together, as well as some of her most memorable campaigns over the years. She has had an illustrious career in the marketing industry for cinema and film, and it was so awesome to hear about how all these awesome projects came together. We also discussed the cinema industry going through COVID and how they managed to get through it, and some big film projects coming from Universal this year and what it could mean for the Australian industry in particular. This is a good one. Grab your popcorn. Here is Suzanne Stretton-Brown on Mumbrella's one-on-one podcast series. It's so good to speak to you. Thank you so much for coming on.
I'm excited. There's lots to talk about. There's always plenty to talk about in the world of movies and marketing.
Yeah.
So thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you for accepting the LinkedIn invite as well. It was a random cold DM to your LinkedIn page. And it was very kind of you to respond in the first place. Sometimes you get seen and that's it. But no, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's great to have you on and talk about a lot of cool stuff happening at the moment.
So what can I tell you?
Well, okay, before we start, as we always do, just a little this is your life moment for yourself. Maybe tell the listeners a little bit about your career and your work leading up to coming to Universal.
Okay. Well, I've been in the movie industry for more than 25 years. So I'm not going to say exactly how long, but over 25 years. And so I guess you could say it's been my entire career. And, you know, there's that saying that there's no business like show business. And all I can say is once you're in the industry and it's in your blood, there's something really special. So I started my career working for UIP, which was then distributing essentially Universal, Paramount and MGM studios in Australia. And I entered my career as a publicist. So I'd studied marketing and then I got my foot in the door as a publicist and with no real experience, but you know, for some reason I was able to sell myself in and I landed in that role. And I think the magic happened when I first started, and I just remember, you know, them saying to me, okay, we've got a screening of Far and Away, which was a Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman movie, for example. You can go and watch that now. I'm like, what? Like during the day, I can go and watch a movie? And then it was like, oh yeah, Tom and Nicole are going to be touring to Australia. So we need to look after this schedule. And I was like, are you serious? You're going to pay me for this? And therein started the magic of, you know, the movies. And then from there, I'm very serious about marketing and I love everything that it represents and the opportunity to be creative. And from there, I sort of forged my career moving into a head of marketing role with Sony Pictures. And then from there, I took a little bit of time out to have my son. And then really I landed the role with Universal, which is where I am now. You know, it's been an incredible ride. I think, what's exciting about where we are in the business right now is in 2021, Universal and Warner Brothers did a sort of a distribution deal. And essentially what that means is that Universal represents or distributes Warner Brothers films in Australia. So I have the enormous privilege of looking after the marketing campaigns for both Universal and for Warner Brothers, which it's a big job, but I have an amazing team and it's a privilege. I love going to work every single day.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that because I had a very similar experience on the media side. Like, so as a journalist, when I got into community radio and you start getting interviews with the actors and the directors of these movies, and the idea that like, hey, we need you to come see this movie that's not out for another month at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. You're like, I get to go see movies for work?
Yeah.
This is a thing that we do. And funnily enough, I think my very first film junket was Snow White and the Huntsman in like 2012.
Well, that was ours. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know you do interviews for us.
It's very similar in the sense that like, you know, this is what we get to do. We get to be around Hollywood blockbusters for work. So I can resonate with that a lot, but maybe let's go back a couple of years, and I don't want to make the podcast about it because, you know, we're finally out of it. But the COVID pandemic had a serious effect, obviously on most industries, but particularly on the live industries, say live music and theater. And obviously the cinema industry came to a halt. You couldn't go to the cinemas at all. So maybe start there. Your experiences, both when the pandemic started and coming out of it to now. Maybe let's start, I guess, March 2020.
Wow. You know, it's really interesting. I can tell you this. I was in London and I was presenting our marketing plans on the No Time to Die, the new James Bond movie, to Barbara Broccoli and the filmmakers and the studio. And we flew over in January and we flew over. And that was when COVID was just sort of starting to happen. We were all excited about, you know, marketing this movie. And on the flight back, when by the time we'd flown back, within that week, we hit Singapore and suddenly everyone was in masks. They were taking a temperature. Suddenly it was like, oh, wow, something's going on here. And what happened from them, literally within a few months, we had gone to working from home. I use the example of the James Bond movie because I mounted that campaign, or our team mounted that campaign 4 times. It was cancelled and rescheduled given the closures and everything. So huge disruption for our industry, huge. And in fact, all of us suffered, both distribution and exhibition, so cinemas. But probably the cinemas took it even harder because you've got to remember their closures, they still had all the outgoings. They have the rents and the, you know, the electricity bills and everything else. And it was a very difficult time. So we came through that, and it's really interesting because in fact, only yesterday I was attending and presenting our lineup at Australia's Cinemas sort of association. It's like a trade day for our industry. So all the distributors go, all the exhibitors, so the exhibition community go, and each of us sort of stand up. We're all in the same space and we share what we've got coming up. And we reflected on what's happened over the last few years, and combination of COVID and then, you know, the lockdowns. And then of course, for our industry, the strikes last year, okay, have affected production. And so what we've seen is a slow recovery, but we are recovering in 2023. So last year, when we're benchmarking against 2019, the industry did nearly $1 billion at the box office. To give you context, that is around 80% of what we were pre-pandemic. So we're recovering. And I guess the end of that is really that, based on the session yesterday and seeing the amazing lineup that Disney and Sony and Paramount and everyone has, 2025 is going to be huge. And I feel like we're probably starting to get back to where we were and really looking ahead. But, you know, a lot's changed as well over the years too since then. So yeah, it's an important industry, and I think it's still very healthy. There's still a big role for movies in our culture, obviously.
The mainstream perspective, I think, particularly last year, was the revival of cinema came from Oppenheimer and Barbie, or Barbieheimer.
Yeah.
For someone who is well entrenched in the industry, is that a fair assumption? Do you think it was those two movies that really kickstarted cinema again, or was it something completely different?
You know what? It's a really great question. And obviously we distributed both films. So I had the joy of both of those films. And, you know, there was that fear that, oh my gosh, on opening day, they were both opening on the same day. And in theory, they were competitors, right? In theory, competitive films, even though very, very different and had different audiences. But there was that feeling like, oh gosh, is there going to be a winner and a loser? And what was so extraordinary is they were both winners. And a lot of the whole Barbenheimer effect fueled that. But, you know, I have this theory that there's something has happened since COVID, or perhaps not happened, but something unique has happened in that the shared experience that you saw, the sort of that Barbenheimer sort of transcended that just the entertainment experience. It became something that captured a sort of a collective imagination, and it really fostered a sense of community. People wanted to come and be a part of something. And we saw this behavior that saw people, you know, wanting to share the experience together. And what I took from that is not just is it about the fact we were isolated for so long with COVID, but, you know, in society now, you know, I wonder if there's something about our human nature, you know, that we're very social creatures. We want to be part of a community. And given, I guess, the isolating effects of the world we now live in with digital and interactions we have really only that way sometimes, whether those moments become bigger than ever. And the, you know, if you think about it, I'd look at something like the Taylor Swift phenomenon, right? And now you know music well, I think, don't you?
So I am a Swiftie as well, if that's any help to you.
Yeah, but do you not see a very similar phenomenon with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think?
We kind of went through this period, right, where you couldn't go to live concerts. And then when you're stuck inside, I think you kind of lean into it. So you lean into maybe older music or music that you haven't visited as much. Same with cinema, right? You watch a lot of older movies. Then coming out of the pandemic and using Swiftie as the example, she released, I want to say, 2 or 3 albums in a span of 2 years. So you've got it fresh in your mind. Now she's releasing new music and then you start listening to that and you get hooked on it again. On the movie side of things, I think I'm a cinephile, admittedly. So the second I could get back into the cinema, I was there.
Yeah.
But I agree. There's this weird connection that I think you missed and you kind of lucked out on during COVID. And then when you get the chance to go back, you lean straight into it.
That's what movies and, you know, I guess live entertainment can do. There's something we also saw on the Minions that we distribute. And I don't know if you're familiar with the trend that started on TikTok. The Gentle Minions. Were you familiar with that?
No.
It actually started in Australia. A young Australian guy just didn't have a particularly big social following, posted this. And essentially it was a group of Gen Zs turning up at the Minions, males, turning up with suits and ties on, Gentle Minions, right?
Right.
And you think, oh, okay. But I'm talking, I'll send you a link so you can see this. It's extraordinary. This phenomenon was extraordinary. So they started turning up in like 20, 30 at a time at cinemas dressed up in suits. And Universal in LA caught on to this and posted something along the lines of, Gentle Minions, we see you and we love what you're doing. But soon this trend ignited and went to the US, to the UK, and suddenly you had Gen Zs turning up in suits to see the Minions. And
wow.
Again, it's that shared experience. It's something that is so powerful when people, I don't know, come together. And definitely the social media of it all has really helped connect people in that way and has, I guess, amplified those moments. But I think there's something to be said. I think the thing that we've noticed is that obviously since the pandemic and with all the changes to entertainment consumption habits is that those films that would traditionally do a more modest box office are perhaps the ones that are we're finding it harder to get out because you have to create so consumers now they want a reason to get off the lounge because they've got so much choice, and that is the category at the moment we're really trying to figure out and find new strategies around. But the event films are the ones that. Did you know that since 2021, of the top 10 films of all time in history, 4 have actually been since 2021?
Wow.
4 films. So it tells you that, you know, movie going is alive and well and people are loving it. So,
yeah. Just looking back on some of these campaigns, and again, admittedly, I kind of have a good insight into it because I was one of the people who was doing interviews for those junkets. But say, you know, you mentioned James Bond at the start. When you're having to lead a marketing campaign, is it infinitely harder? Well, maybe we'll just start with James Bond, for example, because number one, it's James Bond.
Yeah.
When you're having to front a brand new campaign over such an iconic character and franchise, what are the conversations like between you and your team?
you know, something like Bond is different in that it's, you know, it has an incredible history, and there's, you know, a lot of consultation and direction that's provided from filmmakers and the studio. You know, the way our business works is a lot of that overarching strategy starts there. And then it's sort of handed over to the market. And the conversations we have, like, you know, so in my division, I have a head of media, head of media and creative, a head of partnerships, and a head of publicity. And so the whole, all these groups come together, and really the conversations are around ideation. What are we working with? What do we need to achieve? Really establishing those core goals up front, establishing the you know, the sort of the pillars of the campaign, and building out, you know, are we going to have talent? So talent, as in, you know, the actors, the filmmakers, obviously can make a huge difference to, you know, the visibility of a campaign that's right. And, you know, we've had, which I think you're aware, we've had like back-to-back tours just in the last.
A lot.
Yeah. You know, in the last 4 months, I feel like I've been on the red carpet constantly. not for me. Let's be clear about that. I'm running
the red carpet, yeah, people.
I'm just the one standing to the side. Exactly. I'm making way for the important people. We talk about all the elements that are at our disposal. And then how do we bring those together? And then the thing that I love most about what we do is the element of creativity and innovation. It's like my passion. It's what, you know, I love movies, but, and I equally love the ability to be creative and innovate and try new things. And I think I've got a team around me that are as passionate, and they're so clever and smart, and so many ideas come from the collaboration of us all. Yeah, so it's very much a brainstorming and then a work in progress, you know, working with the studio, seeing content, research. A lot of research goes into it, researching how things, you know, content performs, what creative's working, working with media owners, talking to them about how can we take something that's traditional and turn it on its head. You know, that's it. I love going to the market with that. What can we do? Did you see what we did on the Fall Guy?
Well, I saw the Harbour Bridge thing.
When that was on Furiosa. Yeah, on The Fall Guy. So that was Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, obviously.
Great movie, by the way. Go see it, everyone.
Give it a plug because it's fantastic. It's still number one at the box office.
Yeah.
So we, unfortunately, they were unable to travel to Australia. However, the filmmakers were available to come back. And you probably know that it was filmed here in Australia. So David Leitch and Kelly McCormick, the filmmakers, returned to Australia, the home it was shot, and we wanted to do something different. So we were like, okay, what can we do? So we took what is a traditional advertising space, which is the Glebe Island silos. You know, the big billboard?
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
You as you go across the Glebe Island Bridge, we took that over with the Fall Guy. So we put a big poster up there. And then what we did is in the lead up to this, it took obviously a lot of planning and a lot of approvals, but we engaged the local stunt team that worked on the film. And the pitch, if you like, was reuniting the director, the filmmakers with their stunt team on top of the Glebe Island silos. So what we did is we staged a stunt off the billboard, and where this team abseiled down our billboard. We obviously captured all this. And then the key to this was making sure we could get broadcast news and everything else. So we got great participation from Channel 7 Sunrise. Matt Shervington agreed to go to the top of the billboard and actually host the very first interview with David, the director. And so that was done up there. Just, it was fantastic. It was so much fun.
Talking about, you know, creativity and innovation, you know, I recently had Greg Hoffman, the former Nike CMO.
Yes, yes.
And this is the guy who has worked with Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan. And he has an interesting take on working with celebrities as far as the campaigns. You know, like, he comes from a place of, is it authentic? Will it connect? Do you have a similar mindset in that, you know, you mentioned earlier, sure, it's going to make life much easier for you if you have access to the talent and filmmakers.
Yeah.
But say on instances where the talent might be able to travel, in the case of Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, is that where your creative side really needs to kick in? Or do you have much more fun working with the talent because they are who they are and they obviously have more visibility?
I think he's absolutely right on the word authenticity. I think that, just to pick on that word for a moment, as a marketer, I think anyone's a marketer would agree, you cannot afford not to be authentic in what you do. The audience out there is too savvy. particularly the younger audience, especially the younger audience, and they know straight away. You know, we were talking about the other day, we can create content, say, for TikTok. And if we create something that's really slick and it's a great sizzle, and we think, whoa, that looks terrific, and you put it on there, and it will not perform as well as something that has been captured more authentically on the go behind the scenes. You know, people want what's real, and they really won't tolerate anything but. So to come back to your point, I think the key is, if we're working with talent, to always have them doing something that is authentic to who they are, to their brand, to their image. You know, not all of them are willing to do things out of the box. Some of them are. It, you know, it varies. And yeah, it's a fascinating thing, but definitely when we don't have access to talent at all, which happens on some films, so there's no one doing interviews with you, there's no one, you know, doing publicity, we have to work even harder, because that's an element that's missing from the campaign, and we have to overcome that with, yeah, creativity. Influencers definitely play a role in our campaigns now. So, you know, again, engaging the right influencers that there's an authentic alignment with our brand and theirs, and allowing them to create content that represents that they feel comfortable with, like, and not dictate what it is. We have to trust that, you know, we're in this together, but, you know, you have to have your voice, because otherwise your audience won't respond. So yeah, that's definitely where a lot of the creativity kicks in. We've got to figure those things out in the absence of talent.
The Fall Guy campaign was pretty incredible. You know, that's a great example. Then, with, you know, with all respect to David Leitch and Kelly McCormick, they're not big names if you're not a really serious cinema fan. For you to pull that out of the bag is a pretty great feat. What was the mindset behind that one?
Behind the billboard and everything, you mean, or the camera?
Yeah.
I think exactly what you said. I mean, there is enormous risk. They're incredibly successful filmmakers, and in our industry is incredible respect for the work they've done. But we knew that it's not Ryan Gosling. It's not Ryan Gosling on The Breakfast Show who's tuning in. So we had to create something unique that would, you know, allow inspire that curiosity. I mean, I think to that end, where we did recently, and you alluded to it before, was Furiosa. Just hot off the tour for Furiosa. That was insane. And that was so fun, because we have the privilege of working with Doug Mitchell and George Miller, the filmmakers, obviously. And we had a tour. So Anna Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth were here. But again, we take it to the next level, where we are now as a business, and we look at, so, okay, we can take the stars, we can put them in front of the Opera House, we can take a photo and go, there you go, we're in Sydney, here's your photo. But that just doesn't cut it anymore, in my opinion. We have to go to the next level. So for that particular one, working with the filmmakers, we managed to the War Boys. You'd be familiar with the characters of the War Boys that are, you know, a big part of the Furiosa brand. We basically managed to get them on top of the Harbour Bridge in an incredible shoot that Doug Mitchell was, you know, facilitated a lot of that, or all of that. And then we're able to marry that together with a story down on the foreshore, where we created this almost a movie set with the cars from the film. We had other war boys on big poles, sway poles, and which are used in the film. And then we had our stars at the very center of it. And this whole thing just created this incredible, you know, it just ignited your imagination. The press were invited down to cover it. And then the coverage went international, went global. So again, I guess my point is, you know, I think we have to continue to push boundaries in that way, and not just settle for, yeah, let's get a photo in front of the Opera House and hope that translates.
I really like what you said before about influencers and making sure that they're in line with what you're doing, because, you know, I think to some people, influencers can be a dirty word, in that, you know, there are the influencers who kind of just, you know, almost document their day. You know, I'm off to the shops, I'm off to the dentist, whatever it may be. But they have a following, and it's as simple as that. Let's give influencers content because they have a following. But I really like that what you said there, that you only work with the influencers who, you know, maybe it's a cinema influencer, maybe it's just the particular genre of the film. Is that really big for you when it comes to influencers?
I'll give you an example. we had the movie Challengers, which is Zendaya's new film. It's currently in cinemas. Go see it, guys. That was a really interesting strategy because we knew that it's one of those films I referred to earlier. It fits into that more modest box office range and the range where also targeting sort of Gen Z, got to get them out, got to get them from behind the phone and do they care about the cinema as much? And what we did for that particular release, we toured Zendaya with her two leading men and her celebrity obviously is huge. And she's as much a fashionista, I think, these days as she is an actress. And so with that in mind, the influencers and the guest list we curated and the influencers we engage were those from who represented fashion, came from music, anything pop culture. So it doesn't have to just be film because we knew that they would, they would create content that's relatable to their audience. And just because it wasn't necessarily about the film, it might have been inspired by, look at this little cute tennis outfit that she's wearing. And you know what I mean? It doesn't have to always be just about film influences. In fact, we usually go beyond that scope, but it has to be authentic for their channel. And that's the key. But the right influencers do a fantastic job. And the worst thing I think a marketer can ever do is try and force an association. Because it won't work, I don't think.
A little look back at your life moment or look at back at your career moment, if you will, and you don't have to name names here, but has there ever been a campaign that you've worked on or you pitched that in your mind was some of your best work and maybe it was the talent, maybe it was just their team that just weren't on board for whatever reason? Was there a particular campaign that sticks out for you that never got to see the light of day?
Look, there are definitely ideas that get killed for sure. There's not one campaign, there's loads. We are a very creative bunch and we come up with some big, blue sky ideas and sometimes it's killed. I think, even something like, so the Fall Guy that we talked about earlier, to give an example, behind the scenes, yeah, sure, you do an interview on top of your billboard. That's great. Can I just tell you that came this far for being canned because of engineering, security, safety, like so many other elements around that. Like we had weeks and weeks and weeks of investigation into making sure this was okay and getting approvals from the council. And that's, so there are often when you're trying to do, even if the studio greenlights something, sometimes then when you're trying to get it off the ground locally, you will hit a roadblock with just logistics if it's something really ambitious. And yeah, there's definitely times when we've asked talent to do things and they don't feel comfortable, like maybe, being character for something and they don't want to be, which is completely understandable. So definitely had my share of rejection. If that's the
I won't make you celeb shame. So let's go the other end of the spectrum. Is there a particular campaign that sticks out for a particular reason just because you nailed it, the idea was incredible? Maybe the talent themselves came up to you and said, this is incredible. Has there been a moment like that?
I mean, I hate to say Barbie, but Barbie, clearly, if I can, because everything about that, not just the campaign, the role that, to your point, the role that the talent played, Margot Robbie was, if you followed that tour around the world, she wasn't in character traveling as Barbie, but she represented the brand. She, in her fashion, she knew that everywhere she went was a moment, a promotional moment, a red carpet moment. And they were thrilled. She was obviously producer on that as well. And they were thrilled with the work we did locally and around the world. Australia, grossed, performed per capita really well against some of the other markets. I mean, it was incredible around the world. But so we got great feedback there. We work on 40 campaigns a year at least. So I'm trying to think back. I'll have to think about it. But when we work with filmmakers, they're generally very gracious and recognize the amount of work that goes into, and just most recently working with the filmmakers for Furiosa, they've been amazing, so incredible and so gracious. And they know what goes on behind the scenes. They know how much work it takes to mount these campaigns and bring them to life. And you just want to keep on doing it and do really well when you get that sort of, reception to your work.
Yeah, it's funny thinking back, like from my perspective, some of the best interviews I've done have been with the filmmakers, Quentin Tarantino, when he came
out
here.
What was that for?
The Hateful Eight. He was here for that. And the idea that he did a lot of screenings while he was in Australia, and he sat through every session. He would get us. He would present the film, and then usually they all leave. He took a seat and watched his whole 3.5 hour movie for, and that was just in Australia. He went everywhere. Jamie Lee Curtis is another one for Halloween. Like, she's a film icon, and she was doing the press junket hustle all around the world.
Yeah, 100%. She was incredible.
The highlight of my career, she gave me a round of applause.
No,
she
told, really?
I have the footage, and I'm only bragging about it because it's Jamie Lee Curtis. She told me that my assessment of Halloween was the best assessment she's ever heard, and I should be a film critic. And then she made everyone in the room give me a round of applause.
Are you serious?
The highlight of my life.
Did we get that? Did we do an echo to that?
That's what I said. I said, is this on film? And she just laughed and said, no, you deserve that. So
that's
my shiny moment. Yeah. So thank you, Universal.
Yeah, no, well, look, you appreciate film. And I think, you know, you also live in the world of media and marketing, so you understand the balance of two between the art and what we have to do as well. But that's fantastic recognition. I'm glad.
Looking ahead for 2024, what else have you got in store? Because you mentioned that, like, just thinking back, Furiosa happened, Fall Guy happened, Challengers happened. You had Jack Black out here for Kung Fu Panda 4. There's been a lot. Is there more coming still for Universal, or do you get a little bit of a break?
No break. Honestly, there's not a break. It's back to back, and we've got some very exciting tours coming. I'm not actually allowed to announce them yet. But I'm going to say what I will say. Project-wise, I'm beyond excited about. We've got DM4. So, you know, do you know, like, the Minions, DM4, Despicable Me 4. It's actually that is the biggest animated franchise in history. So it's.
Is it really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, get me wrong, I love Despicable Me, but, like, I would have just assumed, like, I don't know, Shrek.
No.
Or Toy Story, one of the Disney.
As far as being a franchise. So all the films together, the Minions and DM, it's the biggest franchise in history, animated franchise. So excited about that. I'm really excited about whether we can entice those gentle minions back again.
Yeah.
And how we do that. Because if they think we're marketing to them, we know they're not coming. So I don't know. We're trying to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Very excited about, of course, you're a film fan, Tim Burton's Beetlejuice.
Sure.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you don't have to answer. We can do it after we finish recording.
Yeah.
Is there a chance the cast is coming? Is Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder coming?
To be honest, I don't know yet.
Okay.
We will definitely be requesting them. Let's put it that way.
Of course, sure.
Yeah. So it really depends on their commitments. And then the film that I'm just really, where I've been working on it, my team and I've been working on it for over 12 months already, but it's Wicked. So
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, directed by John Chu. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, it is a magical take on the stage show. Everything we've seen so far, it's going to blow your mind. It's just, you know, I'm calling the campaign, like, what we want to achieve is Barbie 2.0. I really, you know, I'm hoping people turning up at cinemas in pink and green, because they're going to be the brand cues for the film. I'm hoping that people are going to embrace this as the film of inspiration that it is. And it definitely has, like Barbie, has some real life, the values and some of the things around friendship, diversity. It celebrates all the things that we loved about Barbie as well in the storyline. And yet it's uplifting and magical. So I'm a girl. What can I say? I love marketing those movies. I love marketing those movies.
I was in New York for 2 years and I saw Wicked a few times, actually. So
you too?
I'll join you on that boat, yeah. Just on that quickly, though, just out of curiosity, because, you know, you obviously can see the schedule far ahead of time, you know, using Beetlejuice 2 as the example. When, obviously, I'm sure your mind starts coming up with ideas then and there, but as you said, you don't always know you're going to get access to the talent or the filmmakers. Really, you tell me, how far ahead do you get told? When can you start bringing them into the fold?
It can take a while. Like, so for example, the strikes that happened last year, anything that we had on, like, we had, you know, talent down to tour on a few things, and it just got moved because they were then in production and had other commitments because that production had been delayed from the year before. The request goes in about 3-4 months out, and maybe sometimes a bit longer, but the confirmation, put it this way, the confirmation is right down to sometimes 6 weeks out. You know, we're hoping to bring Austin Butler back for his new movie, Bike Riders, very soon. He's another one. We brought him down Elvis, which is another one of my all-time favorite campaigns and films.
Oh, him and that unknown actor, Tom Hanks?
Yeah, that little actor. Good memory. Yeah, so probably, you know, but we don't get confirmation. And I would go as far as to say, you know, schedules and things that get signed off and travel plans. You know, my publicity team, who are the A team, they are often in the office literally 2 days before, still confirming media junket interviews, still locking travel arrangements, still doing security checks. And not because they're slow, but because it's so complex. I said, we're almost like a travel agency now as well. We're not just marketing and entertainment. We actually are travel and local tour hosts and everything that comes with that. So yeah, it can be very much down to the wire. We're hoping we can make something big happen for Wicked, fingers crossed for that, and do something really magical in Australia. And I think you'll see a few other tours as well.
Very exciting. Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for coming on the show. Before we let you leave, as we always do on this podcast, do you have a message for the Australian media and marketing industry, whether it's good, whether it's bad, something you've seen that you're loving, something you think needs improvement? What would your message be to the industry and to people listening to this episode right now?
I'm an optimist, so I'm going to go with something positive. I think Australia's contribution to the world of media and marketing has always been characterized by we're very creative and very innovative. And given our success in that area, I would encourage industries to keep working together the way film is doing that. I would encourage marketers to keep pushing boundaries, take more risks. And, you know, there's that feeling like you have to innovate to elevate your campaign. And I would say it's really important that we continue to push the envelope and continue to challenge things. And also, really importantly, have really honest conversations about what's not working, because things change. And I'm referring to, say, you know, in our industry, or and everyone will have their own industry and their own industry bodies, and then within their own organization, celebrate the wins, take your learnings, and then you know, acknowledge what doesn't work anymore and find a new way forward.
Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate your time. It was good to chat. Congratulations on all the success so far, and good luck with the rest of the year. It sounds like it's going to be a big one.
Thank you for having me, Neil. It's been great.
That's our episode. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Suzanne for coming on this week's show. Be sure to check out some Universal films like The Fall Guy and Furiosa in cinemas right now. And as always, if you haven't already, be sure to rate, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you're listening to this episode from. And check out previous episodes of the One-on-One podcast and the weekly Mumbrella cast through mumbrella.com.au right now. We'll talk next week.
Podcast edit by Abes Audio.